Hello, everyone. Let me get my camera situated. We've been having to reboot all morning long. Things have been a little weird since I've gotten back from camp. I hope all of y'all had an amazing week. And let me get everything going over here so that we can get to Q&A and all the good stuff. Let's see. Let me pull up my chat. Let me pull up the Q&A. There we go. All righty. So this is our weekly Q&A call. Let me go over a few announcements while everybody's getting in here, and then I will teach y'all a little bit about I do and I don't. This is a concept that we actually did at one of our previous camps. I believe it was sometime in 2021. I can't remember which camp we did it at, but we wanted to teach it this morning for all of you, and then we're going to get into questions. So the first thing is, if you're brand new to NoBS, let's say that you've just joined because you took the free course, you got the special invitation to join, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is called Q&A. This is an optional call. You don't have to be here. In fact, I always encourage everyone, when you come to these live calls, if you've not made a 24-hour plan, I always encourage you, stop, drop, and plan. Get your planner out, get it made. There's no sense in taking in new content unless you're doing the foundational basics. So make sure you do that. This is also one of those calls where it will be in the replays. We always drop new calls every, I think it's Tuesdays and Fridays, inside the membership for you. So anything that's recorded, you always know that in your private member podcast, in the video replays, if you can't attend live, that's where everything comes on Tuesdays and Fridays. And if you are one of our newbies who joined with us in our big challenge opening at the 1st of March, this week you are doing module 4 of NoBS. So make sure you take it because it's a really good one. There are 10 lessons in that module. And it talks about things like taking NoBS on the road, what to do with a stall and a plateau, a lot of the things that tend to just get in our way. So we tried to make that last module, module 4, all about all the things that get in the way of weight loss that no one's ever really taught us how to overcome. It's all the things that we typically quit over when they happen. So you're going to want to make sure you do those. They are 15 minutes or less a day. And then if you have any questions at all as you're going through it, please make sure that you either ask today on Q&A or that you take it over to Ask Coaches. Let me see. I know there's Coach Judith. Let me get you promoted. There we go. And Coach Judith is now coming on stage. She'll be helping out inside of the Q&A, and then she'll be saving. Who is Ralph? I'm not sure what y'all are talking about. I don't know why that just caught my eye. All right. So, Ralph Perrine. That's Dina. Dina is Ralph Perrine. Sorry, y'all. Dina, I think you can change your name if you want to. But I was like, is Ralph here? That's hilarious. All right. And then we are concluding this month's Falling in Love with the Process of Losing Weight. We did self-love. Next month is an exciting program. Y'all, my best friend is teaching all next month alongside me. We have a new course called Trusting Your Body Releasing. It is already inside the membership. You can go check it out. There's an introduction video. This program is perfect for all of us who worry that our body isn't going to help us lose weight. We worry that I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to feeling like I've had enough. I don't think my body is built to tell me when it's hungry. If you have problems with overeating, if you have problems with urges and binging, or if you have issues with, I always eat my emotions. This program was designed for you. And I'm just going to tell you right now, there is hardly a NoBS woman listening to the sound of my voice that this program will not apply to. So this month, what does that mean? Once you are a newbie and you finish NoBS, every single month there is a membership focus where our calls are aligned with it. We help you through a course. We either give you a new course or we revisit an old one, but we talk a lot about it. So this month it's Trusting Your Body. Jane will be doing bonus calls every single Monday, with y'all. I will continue to do my Q&A calls on Wednesday and my calls on Sunday where I do weight loss coaching. And we are going to spend the month making sure that you really understand how to listen to your body, how to build a relationship with your body, how to use it as a tool and a guide to get you your weight loss and the things you want in your life. Instead of what a lot of us doing, we sit around at war with our body all the time. We get disappointed that it's not losing weight. We get mad that it's like it doesn't react to foods the same way as it does to someone else. We have a lot of bullshit thinking about our bodies. And so this month, we really wanted to spend some time on like, how are you going to like learn how to trust it? How are we going to treat it with compassion? How do we quit going to battle with it, beating it up, treating it like shit, talking about it like it's a jackass? That's what this month is all about. So I know it's going to be so helpful for all of you when it comes to your weight loss journey. The last Loving the Process self-love call will be happening this Saturday. It'll be the monthly planning and assessment, and it's a Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. So you are going to learn how to love the process of going back, looking at your data, instead of going back, looking at your data, and treating yourself like shit, or refusing to go back and look at your data because you're already treating yourself like shit based on what you think this last month told you. So you're going to want to make sure you come to this call. So it's really important that you learn how to look at what you've done and use it as a way to get you to the next place. And then the last exciting thing is for all of you doing the Don't Stop Believing event with me. We start our training officially next Monday. So this is going to be 12 weeks of not just learning how to move your body, but it's going to be about how do you develop a mindset around movement that works? How do you fall in love with movement? How do you become someone who moves when you've never been an athlete? How do you challenge yourself? How do you do things when you don't want to? So how do you go out on these walks when you don't want to? Without forcing yourself. Most training plans, like when you sign up for a traditional 5K, 10K, half marathon, they're not built for people like us. You know what they do? You sign up, you get an email that says, I'll see you at the start line. You don't usually get a training plan. You got to go out into the Google world and find a training plan that's built for some fucking cheetah. We did not do that to y'all. Number one, you are going to get a training plan, and it is built for women like us, where finish lines often get tore down, where they don't understand that we've got aches and pains and joints. We got lives and families and kids. We got to learn how to override our I don't want to bones. So number one, most races won't give you a training plan. We're giving you a training plan. Number two, when you sign up for traditional races, they ain't talking to you about how to eat. They ain't talking to you about shoes and bras for big titties and all the things that all of us go through. That's what we're doing. Your training plan is going to be helping you figure out how do I not start a small fire between my thighs? Ain't nothing but rock and roll half marathons ain't sending you that shit. Well, then they're not talking about all that. So we're going to be helping you with shit real people go through to get across that finish line. The next thing is you're going to get some mindset calls. Because if you're like me, you're sick and tired of trying to drag your ass to a gym out of punishment. I did that for so many years. Don't Stop Believing is about learning how to believe in yourself. Learning how to develop a relationship with movement, not so you can lose weight faster, but so you can lose weight forever. So that you get movement as a part of a healthy overall lifestyle. So you will be getting a monthly mindset coaching call with me. We're going to talk about all the things that get in our way, like, I don't want my neighbors to see me. What's everybody going to think when I do this? Am I going to fit in when I come to Nashville and race with everybody? We're going to talk about all those things. And then we're going to have Coach Jane getting you technically across the finish line for all your technical questions about food and hydration and things like that. So everything starts next week. Make sure that you get registered if you want to do this event with us. Because for those of you who are going to want to move, we have three options. You can train for 1 hour of movement, 2 hours of movement, or 3 hours of movement. So if you're going to want to do the three, you want to start with us from the very beginning. You can get more information over on nobswomen.com. Just go to the events tab and you'll see the Don't Stop Believing on there. And I hope to see a lot of you in Nashville. This is our most affordable event that we do. It is the very last event of 2022. There's camp is already done. DSB is the last thing that we have. And then we'll be looking forward to spring of next year. But this is one where if you come to Nashville, it's fun. This is where you can bring your family and your friends and your partners. It is going to be an amazing experience filled with tons of things. So go over there and check it out. All right. We had 16 new people join the Queen's Club this week. Whoop, whoop. And we also had a brand new person join the Century Club, which means they've lost 100 pounds. And that would be Marcia G or Marcia. I don't know if it's Marcia or Marcia. She said, being a Nobius woman is the most empowering thing I've done in my life. It has touched every aspect of my life and made me stronger and confident. I know I can handle anything that comes my way, regardless of what my habit brain throws at me. A deep breath and a thought switch, and I'm ready to handle my shit. All right. Congratulations to all of you. If you want more information about Queen's Club, it just costs 25 pounds. 25 pounds and you're in. So whether you've joined, if you've lost weight before you joined us or you've lost weight since you've gotten here, you get to get into Queen's Club where you get a special Facebook group, a special monthly call with me and all the things. You can check it all out over on the website. Time to get out your pen and your paper. We're going to talk about I do and I don't. So the first thing we need to know about I do and I don't is that one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to develop a really good relationship with your own personal rules. I know a lot of you have a shitty mentality whenever you hear the word rules. Y'all attach rules to perfectionism. The way I like to think about rules is these are the things I tell myself that I do and do not do. So in the moment when I want to do something, I at least have something in my brain that says, we don't do that. So it's not that you're always perfect. I am not perfect in all of my I do's and I don'ts. What I am is consistent at remembering them, thinking about them, and thinking about them in a way that they help me. They help me to know when I'm off track and when I'm on track. So I want you to think about your list of the things I do in this world and the things that I don't are to help me. For example, one of my I don'ts is I don't yell at Chris. Now, I am just going to tell you, sometimes I do yell at Chris. Sometimes I get pissed and I don't think about like, well, before I start yelling, let me check my rules. It doesn't always work that way. But here's what does happen. Sometimes I catch myself yelling and very upset. And there's a tiny voice in me that says, you don't yell at Chris. That's not something we do. And it helps me take the temperature down in the moment. Sometimes I don't remember that I don't yell at Chris until way after the fact. When I remind myself, hey, we said we don't yell at Chris, that helps me be alert to my personal responsibility. I may have been pissed for a legit reason. And that's my stuff to work through. And that's my stuff to go to him and say like, hey, I was really upset when you did this, I thought and felt. But I also want to apologize because the way I handled it in the moment, that's not something I do anymore. your personal rules aren't there for perfection. They're not there to stop you from ever, ever, ever doing things. They're there as like guardrails. So that if you're getting off track, at the very least, you can see the sparks from your bumper flying that you're like running alongside your guardrails. That's what they're there for. Now, I know some of you sit around and you're like, I don't like rules. Okay, then call it something else. Give it any kind of fucking name you want. But the concept is the same. So often what we need to do is we need to think about, you know, if I'm having a visceral reaction to a word, the problem isn't the word. The problem is what I make the word mean. I make rules mean restriction. Maybe because in the past, you've used rules like a jackass. And this is the crazy thing. We follow rules all the time. Nobody rolls up on a, let's say you got, you're on a busy highway and the light's red. You don't roll up on the red light and think, oh my God, like, I hate this rule. I'm so restricted. I should just be able to just drive openly down the highway and everybody should get out of my way. We follow fucking rules all the time. Some of them we don't have any thoughts about. We're like, that's a good rule. Kind of glad there are red lights. I'm sure one day when cars first started, they made red lights to make sure that the Model Ts weren't getting crashed all the time. They didn't need a red light until then. So this is what we need to think about, is that some of us, we just need some personal rules for ourselves to tell us how to act. A lot of us follow the Ten Commandments. I don't go around killing people. Kind of like the rule. I'm all in. Like, you know, Grin, I'm Catholic. I have no interest in going to hell. I'm like, all right, I'm all in on not killing the peoples. Even when they make me mad, even when I'm standing in that damn grocery store and I'd like to kill every single person, paying in pennies for their groceries. So we just want to think about, we follow rules all the time. Sometimes we don't even think about them. And sometimes we overthink them. And we hose ourselves. Personal rules can be very helpful as long as you set them from the mindset of love and intention. If you say, I need to do this, otherwise I'll be a fat fuck for the rest of my life, the problem isn't the rule. The problem is the intention behind your setting it. It is the reason, it's the way you're talking about it. If you say, hey, I'm going to come up with this I do and I don't, this is going to be my guideline. This is going to be my guardrail. This is going to be my rule. This is going to be my commandment, however you want to phrase it. But this is what's going to help me know when I am living in a way that I want to, and when I'm acting in a way that in my rational brain, I know I don't want to be doing anymore. So some of my I don'ts are, like, I don't yell at Chris. That's one of my biggest ones. Another I don't for me is I don't go out to the bar to drink with Chris after bad days anymore. That is a rule that I instituted about, it was a little over a year ago, because I want date night and going to the bar to be special. And it's not special when we go a couple nights during the week because Corinne's had a bad day and Corinne wants to unwind and bitch for an hour or two while drinking some wine. I just realized that's something I don't want to do anymore. I want to keep date night special, and bastardizing it on other nights was not allowing me to stay in integrity on date night. So I don't go to the bar with Chris and call date night when really only thing that's happened is I'm tired and I'm stressed and I want to unwind. I do tell myself the truth. The only reason why I want to go is because I'm tired and I'm stressed and I want to unwind. I can do that at home with either a time out in bed, a journal, I could watch TV. There's lots of ways to do it, but I don't go and drink over it anymore. That's been very helpful for me. Some of the other things that you can do is I don't eat to avoid my feelings. That's another one that I've been doing. Sometimes I say things like, Corinne, we don't overeat anymore for our feelings. And I will often tell myself that when I'm in the middle of an overeat, when I catch myself doing it, it's never too late. It's never too late to stop eating. And it's true. I'm the kind of person that doesn't do this anymore. Even though sometimes I do it, it doesn't mean that's who I am. I am the person who is learning to become that person. That means I don't do it. Can't tell yourself that stuff near enough. I also sometimes overeat and tell myself after the fact. I remind myself, Corinne, we don't overeat from our feelings anymore. So this time when you did it, what did you really need? It helps me when I tell myself that I'm not that person anymore to look at an incident where I wasn't showing up that way to figure out what was going on for me. Very helpful. I also like this one. This is a couple that we got from some of the members. I don't snack when I'm not hungry anymore. Some of you don't like to, like for, like my mother's a good example. Although Mammy would love to go to bed, she used to go to bed eating ice cream each night, just like me. But it really tears up. She has Barrett's esophagus. It tears up her GERD. It tears everything up. She did it for years and suffered. And she just decided, I don't eat once I've gone to bed anymore. She had to start becoming the kind of person who told themselves, I don't do this anymore. Here's another good one. One of her don'ts is, Jennifer, I don't eat in the car anymore. That was one of the ones that I started using too. I am just the kind of person now, it's like the only time I eat in the car is if we're on a really long road trip, it's time for a meal, and we want to get there versus stopping and eating. That's the only time I eat in the car. I always figure if I'm within 30 minutes of my house, I don't care how fucking hungry I am. I can wait until I get home where I can sit and be comfortable and enjoy my food. And that's one of the things that I told myself is I don't eat in the car anymore, but I do wait until I get home where I can eat in comfort and peace, where I am paying attention. So you want to have your I don'ts. And then you want to also be able to follow up with an I do. So you might, if you don't want to eat over your feelings anymore, I do use the now method when I'm upset. The now method is in module 2 of No BS. It's lesson 8, unit 8. And you might be just like, when I'm feeling upset, I breathe. I use the now method to notice my thinking, to open up to the idea of like what's going on inside my body. And then I pay attention to heart rate, lungs, breathing, chest tightness, all the things. Some people also say, I don't let work get in the way of no BS. That was another popular I don't. And the I do is I do set boundaries with my job so that I've got time to do no BS work. So the last thing about I do's and I don't's is there's no harm in declaring your I don't's, but just don't use them against yourself. As I've been talking, they are not perfection goals. They are not things that you have to get 100%. They're personal rules that give you the guardrails to know when you need to be asking yourself questions. Why do I think I was overeating? What was going on in that moment for me? What was I maybe feeling? What did I need in that moment if food wasn't going to be my option? What could I do next time to help myself slow down and remember that I don't do that behavior anymore? So you want to use it as a way to get information anytime you're not following the I do's and I don't's. All right. Some questions. if I miss a day or have an overeat, the next day is always day one or all over again. I want to get out of that thinking. How do I stop thinking about the day after a mistake is day one? So the first way to stop thinking or to stop, this is the thing. Y'all always want to know, like, how do I stop thinking? You're not going to stop automatic thinking. Your brain is very automated to think it's day one. What you're really wanting to do is redefine what that next day is, so that when your brain comes in with the error, you're noticing, I have an error. When I think I have to start all over, it feels like shit. It feels harder. It feels all these things. You need to go in and prove to yourself, why isn't it day one? So this is what I would do for all of you that have this issue. I would journal on when I like overeat, when I break a streak or whatever. Why is the next day not day one? Why is the next day continuing the journey? This would be this is how you start redefining things. So you prove why it isn't day one. Then the next time you do it and your brain wants to go like, well, here we are, starting all over again. That's the moment where you say like, and that's the thought I knew would come up. And that's the thought that I've been working on. That's the thought that's not true, even if it feels true, because I've already sat in my little lovely journal that Corinne asks me to do all the time. I've already answered this question. And I told myself these things. And in this moment, when it feels like starting over, I want to remember this also. So this is where we hold old shitty and new hotness together. Old shitty is trying to make you believe that you're starting all over, which feels like a grind and which feels hard. Then you come in with this one where you've done the work in your journal, away from when you've gone off streak or whatever, and you write about it. So some of the things that you can think about is, starting from scratch is not what's happening. That could be the first thought. When you think it's like starting all over, it's like, well, not really. Starting all over would mean I had no clue what the four basics are. I have to learn everything from the ground up. So that's already not true. If you've done your planner for 3 days and on day four you don't, and you try to tell yourself I have to start all over, it's like, well, that's not really true. What really is true is I'm starting back at the number four journal entry, the number four plan. Just because you missed a day doesn't mean you're starting all over. If you miss a day or you miss a week, it means we're starting with knowledge. You're starting with the knowledge of why you were off to begin with. You're starting with information that will help you to go a little bit longer, a little bit stronger, a little bit harder. So those are the things to be thinking about. I have this pattern from my discovery worksheets of eating off plan in the afternoon, and then it continues to the evening. I do forgive myself when I eat off plan, but then beat myself up if I continue to give in to urges. How do I normalize it and not beat myself up? I try not, but I don't like that I keep doing this behavior. I think it's fine to not, there's a difference between not liking a behavior that you're doing and beating yourself up over it. It's kind of like, all right, if I go and drink with Chris, let's say tonight, it's already been a week. Like, I just wrapped camp, had a full day of meetings on Monday. If y'all don't know, at camp, I smashed my damn thumb, feels like ass. Even today, I had to get Chris to button my bodysuit for me. I've already had two meetings this morning, and now I'm doing a call. I will tell you, this morning, I was already thinking, we should just move date night to tonight. I caught it in my journal. Corinne's brain is wanting to do it. Now, let's say, that's one of my I don'ts, right? That, you know, having I don'ts and stuff doesn't mean your brain's not going to ask for it. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have urges and stuff. So I'm super aware of it. But let's just pretend that tonight I we go out and I give in to the urge. I'm disappointed the next morning, every single time. Here's the difference between self-loathing and being disappointed. Because I think disappointment is an amazing feeling to have. Disappointment, it means I recognize I am acting in a way that I said I didn't want to do, that I am showing up in a way that I don't want to do for myself. And that's what I tell myself. So like in the morning, I would probably tell myself, I wish I hadn't done that. Like, this is not who I want to be. I need to figure out what's going on that had me going to the bar to have some drinks instead of figuring out why did I want to in the beginning? And why did I want to so much in the beginning? Was it just the habit? Was it already thinking about my day as hard? Thinking about like, oh my gosh, you're going to work really hard today. You're going to be so busy today. And that is the kind of thinking I need to work on in the mornings. That rather than thinking, oh my God, it's going to be a busy day. Oh my God, it's going to be so hard. Telling myself, Kryn, you have a plan. You know how to show up for meetings. You might be tired at the end of the day. And if you are, be on alert that when you're tired, you often want to drink. Way better conversation to have with myself than, oh my God, it's going to be such a busy day. This is going to be so tough. And just leaving it at that. No information, no guidance, no helping me out on who I want to be in the evening. No wonder I want to drink. I don't even think about those things. But then if the next day I did, I want to be disappointed. I don't want to wake up and be proud that I went drinking. But I also don't want to wake up in the morning saying, oh my God, you're never going to get this. You're probably always going to drink. I don't need to do all that either. Meet yourself in the middle. This is what we want to get good at. Sometimes I want to be, if I'm not living the way that I say I want to. So like if you're giving into urges, you say, I forgive myself when I eat off plan. You don't need forgiveness. You didn't do anything bad. This is one of the things I think y'all forget. Like, you would only be forgiving yourself if you think that eating off plan is bad. Right? Or if you did wrong. Forgiveness is for when people act the ass. This is the way that I think about it. I think about like when I'm doing something, like if I was to yell at Chris, I don't sit around thinking I need to forgive myself. I sit around thinking I am disappointed that I showed up in a way I said I don't anymore. That's human. Sometimes, and I will tell myself, sometimes I'm going to yell, but I am the kind of person who is really working on being the kind of person who doesn't lose her temper verbally. I want to be the kind of person that loses her temper, like on the inside, to where I get so alerted to it that I know how to give myself some space. Not say things in the heat of the moment. So when you have overeats and you have like when you're like, you know, I keep, you know, having urges, I keep having urges and giving into them. I would just tell yourself, I'm the kind of person who doesn't give into urges anymore. And here's how I need to do it going forward. And I'm also disappointed that I haven't learned it yet. That's human. That's normal to be disappointed. But I'm a work in progress and I am figuring this out. So this urge that I gave into, what's it trying to tell me? Are there like, am I planning realistically? For some of you, you're still not planning realistically. You're still so afraid to put foods down that you want to eat. that you end up eating them anyway, but in a way that you don't want to live your life. Some of you, you are planning very realistically. It is very doable. These are the foods you want. And there's a part of you that's just not ready to stop eating yet. And so you want to make sure you tell yourself, like, all right, self. Sorry, I need to get my chair. I'm not used to being in my chair. I'm all like discombobulated. But you need to tell yourself, all right, here are the excuses that I keep using to keep eating. I will often tell myself, it tastes so good. And I don't say anything else. I just get frustrated that I like the food and think that that's what's causing me to overeat. Food tasting good doesn't cause you to overeat, ever. The thought it tastes so good, not being interrupted, not being shifted and heard and known and instructed to do something different, that's what causes the overeat. I guarantee you, if you had to eat for a week sitting next to me in the office with your favorite foods of all time, you would not probably overeat. Your favorite foods. You would probably be like, oh, wow. Corinne's like watching. Corinne is like, this tastes really good, but I don't want to overeat in front of her. I won't be the reason you're not overeating. It will be because instead of just thinking the food tastes good, you'll also say, yeah, that food tastes good. But bitch, Corinne is like sitting there watching you right now and taking notes. Pay attention to your hunger. You'd have a thought switch. So this is why we have to listen for why we're giving into these urges. What are we telling ourselves? And what are we not telling ourselves in those moments? So if the food tastes really good and you keep using that as an excuse to overeat, then guess what? You need to be able to have that thought. It tastes so good. And now hear it like a fucking 3 o'clock school bell. You know, like when you're in school, you never miss the bell to go home. You want to make sure that your excuses and justifications to keep eating are like the 3 o'clock bell. If you had a horn blow at work, most of y'all wouldn't ever be like, I missed it. I was just so enjoying my job that, you know, I worked an extra 3 hours. You're like, horn, let's go. We want to know our excuses and justifications so that we can then talk to them. Saying something like, it tastes so good. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to tell myself. I'm glad I get to eat foods I love and lose weight. Nothing's ever going to be restricted or taken away from me ever again to lose weight. So there's no urgency to keep eating this meal, even if it feels like it in my body, because I'm not used to having this food whenever I want to. My brain is still reacting the way it's always done on diets, which means the moment I get something I love, I overeat it because I know that the diets I've done in the past have taken everything away from me. That's how we do it. On a podcast, you said that one of the biggest self-sabotage methods is to not do all the things, especially following a plan, because of a fear of making a mistake. Could you explain this more? I plan and assess 90 to 100%, but my plan, following my plan data is around 20 to 30%. I do not remember Catherine saying anything about this. I've only done like 300 or something podcasts at this point. One of the biggest self-sabotage methods is to not do all the things, especially following a plan. Oh, so this is what you want to do. So basically, probably what I was talking about in this podcast was a lot of people have a shitty relationship with mistakes. So when they make mistakes, they beat themselves up. Like, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you did that again. You're probably never going to lose weight. Like the moment that you eat off plan or whatever, there is like an avalanche of shit going on. I don't think this is you, because what's happening is if you are planning and assessing 90 to 100% of the time, but only following 20 to 30%, it's not the beat down that's probably doing it, because you're able to do the part where like you're collecting your fails. So basically, this is the way I like to think about it. In order to be successful at anything, you have to be willing to mess things up. You have to be willing to fail. You've got like, in order for me to become someone that only goes out on date night and has drinks on that night, I had to be the kind of person that noticed that she was going more often and for what reasons. Then I had to be the kind of person that was still doing that behavior and working through, what was I going to tell myself? What relationship did I need to establish with myself? What, like, how was I going to take the temperature down on my own stress and busyness in order to not even have the trigger to want to go out to eat? What was I going to need to do to make date night so special and so exciting that all these grab ass date nights where I was just bitching and moaning, they felt painful instead of beneficial? So I had to be the kind of person who was collecting fails for a while until I really understood the problem and could, you know, start executing at a different level. Same thing happens with all of you. So if what I would do if I was you, Catherine, is I would take your data. I would literally go to Ask Coaches and I would say, this last week, here's how many, like, here are, like, I used to do this all the time. This is what's interesting. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, here are my food plans. Here's what I actually ate. And like, just talk about it. Then give Saturday and Sunday. So I always love for the coaches to be able to get us like a window into what's really going on. We don't need 7 days worth, but if you give us like 2 days of like your midweek and what happens, 2 days of the weekend, because a lot of us, the weekends are the bigger problem. If you can say like, here's what I planned, here's what I ate, here, like I either overate or I didn't, like, this is what it all looks like. And here are my thoughts about it. Why I was overeating to begin with. What were your justifications? What were your excuses? What were the things that your brain was like, you know, I don't want to stop it enough. Maybe you've not been doing it long enough to even know what your enough is, but put all that in there and then let the coaches help you. They will respond. And if you need more help, you just title it the same question that you had, and you just call it part two. And y'all can just kind of pick up from there so that you can get some really good help at dissecting. You know, like, I mean, the good news is that you're giving yourself almost 100% of the time plans. So there's just a gap between your execution. You've already got step one, which is actually making the plans and stuff. And that's huge. Now we just want to figure out like how we're going to move the needle. And a lot of times and Ask Coaches, they can help you dissect that a little bit better. You also, Catherine, come to this Saturday's call at 10 a.m., the monthly planning assessment. Bring your stuff and ask there too. You're a data person. They will want to call on you probably. What is the best book to read on self-love, cutting out the negative self-talk? Going through the self-love course now, and it's hitting home hard. I would say Soundtracks by John Acuff is a good start. You could look at that. I believe, somebody tell me if I'm wrong, it's this month that we're also doing in the book study, doing the work. Will somebody tell me in the Q&A if that's true? I can't remember if it was this month or next month. But that also would be a really good book to read. It's a little headier. Soundtracks is going to be easier. Doing the work is going to be, and when I say heady, I don't mean like a big scientific deep dive. It's just it's a bigger book, number one, but it's just got a little bit more information. Because somebody tell me in the chat if that is this month's book study or if that's next month. Yes, it is this month's book study. There you go. So you have two options, Amanda. You can go and read online which books. If the coaches, will you please put the link to where to buy those books inside the chat so that people are buying, so that the authors can see how many fucking books we sell here at No BS, because y'all do the work when we say do the work. But Soundtracks by John Acuff, and then I would say Do the Work is the other one. So Corinne answered one of my questions 2 weeks ago about the scale not moving at about 3 weeks into the No BS course. I'm a March baby. It was great. I kept doing what I was doing and I'm continuing to lose weight. I am down since February 27th, 13.9 pounds. Good for you. I'll keep going. The thought coming up now is, when is the other foot going to fall and this isn't going to work? Yeah, that's a normal thought, Michelle. All of us do that to ourselves. But here's the thing. What are you telling yourself when you have that thought? This is what I watch y'all do a lot. I notice an old shitty. Crickets. It's like, yeah, you're going to notice old shitty all the time for the rest of your life. Here's when old shitty stops: when you're 6 foot under. That's when old shitty stops. So when you say, like, your brain is wanting to tell you, when's the other shoe going to drop? Here's what I would tell my brain. Here are all the things that I'm doing, brain. I don't need to worry about shoes dropping because I'm dropping that ass on my basics every day. I'm dropping it like it's hot in my planner every morning. And just tell your brain, you do not need to worry. And you also, Michelle, can say, hey, I get it. You freaked out the last time the scale stalled a little bit. And guess what? When you just kept going, you lost a bunch of fucking weight. So that means the next time the scale stops, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep fucking going because it works. I know this is going to be groundbreaking science here, but I'll just say it anyway. When y'all keep fucking going, you lose weight. When you quit because you have a shitty mindset, you don't. So you have everything you need, Michelle. I promise you. I'm going through a divorce, and whenever I have to have a conversation about the divorce with my ex, he gets very mean and tries to bait me into an argument with insults and lies. People try to bait all the time. Here's the good thing. You're smarter than a fish. You know what a fish does when it sees a worm on a hook? No reasoning skills. Like, well, that looks good. Let's go. And then they get hooked and drug into the boat and made into dinner. You ain't a fish. Nobody can bait you. The only way that somebody can drag you into an argument is if you willingly go all in head first. Now, sometimes you might be triggered and you may want to do it. But here's the good news, Christine. You know what this bitch is trying to do. It ain't no shock. Don't act shocked. Prepare yourself. Like, it's probably what my ex is going to do. He's going to use these terms. He's going to say these words. When his voice sounds this way, when he looks at me like this, these are the phrases he might say. All of that is his pathetic attempt to get me to argue. And I don't argue with him. I just driving nuts by not arguing. I mean, what's better? Let's see. I have set clear boundaries. I stick to only discussing the necessary issues and shut down the conversation. My problem is after. The conversation keeps going around and around in my head, sometimes for days at a time. My go-to is to shut it down with food, but I'm working on becoming the kind of woman who doesn't do that anymore. But what do I do with the thoughts that won't quit? You write them down on a fucking piece of paper. I don't know how to process them to get past the anxious state faster. You got to write these thoughts down. Those thoughts are causing the anxiety. It is not your ex. It is not him trying, like, you thinking he's trying to bait you. You know what I would think? That ex is going to say words. And I'm going to feel things. And in between his words and my feelings are going to be my thoughts. And I want my thoughts to be where I don't get anxious. So I don't ever think again that he can bait me. Now you need to think, like, I'm going to take care of myself so that I'm never baited again. That's a good thought. But you need to write this stuff down. So a lot of times what y'all do is you're like feeling anxious. I'm like reliving this over and over again. Get out paper. Write down, I'm feeling anxious because when my ex said and did these things and we were talking, I made all that mean what about me, my future, everything. That is where you will be able to figure out your part. Because if the goal is for you to quit spiraling and ruminating, that's how you do it. Now, I'm all about setting boundaries with dickheads and assholes and all this other stuff. Do all that stuff, but do it from a place of I am figuring out how to take care of myself. Here's shit I tolerate, here's shit I don't. And here's the shit I do and do not tolerate out of myself too. That when I've had a conversation with my ex, and if I am feeling anxious, here's how I take care of myself. I don't do it with food. I do it by sitting there and telling myself, I know that I can figure this out on paper. I know that I can go to Ask Coaches and tell the drama of what is happening in my brain and get some help so that I can feel better. If you can't even articulate the thoughts yet, guess what you can do? The now process. Before you eat, you have an agreement with yourself that you will do the now process. You will be like, that motherfucker cannot make me eat anything that happened with him. What goes in my mouth is all on me. And I don't want to spend one more day of my life with that asshole being an excuse, a justification, or a reason to not take care of myself. And that is like a decision you make. And so then you sit there and you breathe and you pat your heart and you start teaching yourself. Even if I don't know how to think different yet, I can breathe through my thinking. I can protect my heart. These are things I can do for me. Do I have any recommendations on inner child work? The Do the Work book that we're doing this month in the book study, there is some stuff in that book. So if you will join our book study this month, we're going to be reading it together. There's a guide for you and everything. We put the link inside of the now process. So the book study stuff is already on the website, self-study resources. Go to the book study. You will see Do the Work. I recommend doing that one. The now process module 2, unit 8 of No BS. There is also some new tapping resources inside of the Trusting Your Body self-paced course that is very helpful for your feelings. All of you who are wanting to figure out how to feel your feelings and understand your feelings more, you better be taking Trust Your Body this month because it is going to help you answer all of those questions. Can you tell us if a maintenance course is going to be offered inside of No BS? Yep, July. Exactly when. Let's see. I should know this by heart. May, I believe, is the scale course. Somebody will tell me if I'm wrong, but I think May is when we're going to do the new, we're doing a whole month on weighing in, like how to develop a healthy relationship with the scale. Then June, I believe, is stalls and plateaus. If you check your newsletters and your emails, we've been telling y'all in the PS when things are coming out. The last monthly newsletter that came out on the 25th, we gave y'all a preview. If I'm not mistaken, July is going to be the month for the new maintenance course. I get frustrated that I can't do all the things. Doable plan, journal, assessment, data collection. I have a full-time job, family, and et cetera. And some days I feel like I'm spending all day. All right. So first of all, let me get back to the question. It jumped around. There we go. All right. Making a doable plan takes 2 minutes. So when your brain wants to be like, I'm spending all day doing my no BS stuff, that will feel frustrating. That will feel time consuming, and that will gateway you into not doing things. That is the thought that is causing you. And then you're like, you know, it's going to take all day. And then what your brain does is it sits around and thinks like, you know, because you got a family and you got this and you got this and you got this. You need to do your work for a day and then get your happy ass phone out. Time yourself. Time how long it actually takes for one day. We plan and assess and do our, I promise y'all, even if you are a deep dive diva who's going to write a novella every single day for your, on your 24-hour plan and your assessment, we are talking probably 7 minutes. Corinne is a deep dive diva. And I take like 4 to 5. Now, granted, I've been doing it a long time. So I've been able to cut my shit in half from going from 7 minutes to about 3 to 4. And it ain't because Corinne's perfect. Corinne's got a lot of shit to write down every day. I have to work through my stuff. So that's number one. Number two, you ain't got to listen to this call. You're on this call right now asking a question. This is bonus. You must have more time than you think you do. So that's another thing. And when it comes to the monthly, that's only once a month. So if you really break the time out, this is what I tell everyone. And this is what I tell every single person who does any business coaching with me. You can't decide you're busy until you got a calendar written out and it shows me exactly where you're spending your time. Because you don't know. You've got to see time. Otherwise, your brain uses descriptors around everything. Like, I got so much. I'm so busy. I'm pulled in a million directions. Blah, 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 blah. Every time one of my team members tries to tell me that they got too much to do right now, I'm like, perfect. Here's what I want you to do. A time study for a week. And it's not for punishment. It's so that they can make sure that they're spending their time on the right things. A lot of times what we do is we get overwhelmed and we spend our time on the wrong things, or we have gaps of time that are unaccounted for and we don't even think about them. We're not adding up the amount of time that we're sitting around thinking about why we overate, when if we had had a plan, maybe we wouldn't have. We don't think about the time that we're, you know, like watching TV at night and eating. When it's like, all right, then for 5 minutes, journal, then watch TV so that you don't overeat. So there are things that we can do. Time tracking is very powerful, and you literally don't need to make a fancy do out of it. I don't do anything with my team that's a fancy do. I'm like, get you a piece of paper out. So like, let's say I was going to do it with Dana. I'd be like, Dana, here's what I want you to do. Every hour or half hour, I want you to write like 9 a.m. What were you doing? Everything that you can think of. If you are in the kind of job where you do like multiple things within an hour, you can break it down to every 15 minute increments. I've got some people on my team, we do hour long time tracking. Some people on our team, we do 15 minute time tracking, and we do it for a week. And then you go back through and you look at it and you see how long are things actually taking me. If you don't want to track your entire day, what you can do, just track your no BS time, just so you get an accurate read that if I was actually going to do the no BS work this week, I really do want to see how long it's taking so that I can quit telling myself how long it is. I can start telling myself it's X minutes. That's going to create very different feelings than a long time, time consuming, hard to do with all the other things. When you get an accurate fact of what it takes, then your brain is probably going to be naturally triggered to think like, oh, 7 minutes is probably doable. even when I think it's not. 7 minutes is doable. Sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I want to blow it off because I want to be able to eat whatever I want and I don't want to have to see a plan blown for the day. So I just don't make a plan so I don't have to see that part. Good information to know. I would love for y'all to know that. Saying that it only takes a few minutes to do something is hurtful to those of us that take a lot longer to do things. It is like telling us that it should only take that long and then we feel like a failure. Yes, that is a thought. So number one, Anonymous, I'm glad you realize that's just a thought. When I say words, your brain is, that hurts. Something's wrong with me because it takes a lot longer. Versus when I say it doesn't take that long, it takes 7 minutes. Your thought could be, I wonder how I could speed up. Or your thought could be this, if you want to go faster, like, all right, my new goal is 7 minutes. Or your thought could be like, I like taking longer. Or taking longer works for me. Or I have reasons why it takes me longer. You could think anything in the world you want, but you don't have to think hurtful thoughts. Just because your brain offers you personal pain doesn't mean you need to keep it. So I want y'all to always be thinking about how is my brain interpreting things? If I'm hurt, is this a sentence? What is the exact saying? It only takes a few minutes. Is this a sentence that I would like to feel hurt over? If not, what would I like to feel? Empowered, aware, curious. I would invite you to think about that, to just think about, like, this is the thing. If y'all want to spend 15 minutes, if it takes you, like my son, it might take him longer than 7 minutes because he doesn't have good hand dexterity. It might take Logan 10 to 15 minutes to do this work. Do you know what Logan's thought would be? Logan's thought would be like, I'm unique. It takes me 10 to 15 minutes, but I'm willing to do it. Even if it takes me a little longer, I'm willing. Very different thought. So y'all just be very mindful of like allowing your brain to hear sentences in the world and say, it makes me feel like a failure. Nothing makes you feel like a failure without your brain's permission. If you want to go through life not feeling like a failure, the one thing that none of us can afford to do is wait for the rest of the world to change how they talk so that, oh, now I have it easy. The world is not going to change how it operates to accommodate any of us. And it doesn't need to. What we want to do is learn how to make accommodations for ourselves so that we feel empowered, so that we feel like it's a choice, so that we're being decisive, so that we're caring for ourselves the way we want to. That's what we want to do. All right. If you did not get your question answered, please feel free to take it over to Ask Coaches. You can also take it over to the Facebook group and you can get all kinds of help. That is it for today. We went a little over today, but I tell you what, it was some good, good questions. Thank you for asking all of them. And I will see y'all on Sunday. Don't forget about Saturday's call, 10 a.m. Central Time, monthly planning and assessing. Bring your juicy ass data and we will help you. Otherwise, I'll see y'all Sunday. Bye, y'all.